I'm Tom Barker. This is Curtis McCartney. We've been working at NKU for the last year on mobile development.
We've been working at NKU for the past 4 years or so each on web applications, C#, .NET, Java, PHP, so on.
We do have development experience. We just had no experience in the particular platform we chose to go with.
That was really our decision. It was just, thrust into that.
So to recap, we're going to talk about smartphone ecology, a little bit of an introduction to, why we went into the particular platform we chose to go into, a little bit of history of the development that we did, and an overview of the actual app that our team in particular came out with, and then another introduction of another app that Student Workers solely did, along with a demonstration of that too. So
how many smartphones are on college campuses? Two recent studies by Ball State University and University of Colorado have found that about 50% of college students are carrying smartphones with them these days. The University of Colorado study, and bear in mind both of these studies were earlier this year. The University of Colorado study was in April of this year. They found that at university campuses, iPhones represent about 40% of smartphones, followed by BlackBerry and Android at 26 and 22% apiece. So what that meant for our university, we've got about 16,000 students, and so we had about 3,200 people carrying around iPhones. Now, in terms of what kind of smartphones will students be carrying in the future, the study didn't cover that, but if you look at national growth trends, you see that while in June this year, iPhones accounted for 28% of the U.S. mobile market, or rather 28% of the U.S. smartphone market, Android accounted for about 13% of the smartphone market. However, as you can see by this graph here, where the black line is iPhone recent sales and the green line is Android recent sales, sometime around last Christmas, iPhone sales started taking a steady dip, going from 34% down to the present 23% of recent sales, whereas Androids took a sharp rise, going from 6% up to 27% of recent sales. If these growth trends continue, Androids are expected to overtake the mobile marketplace by around 2014. They were also surveyed what is the next likely smartphone to be used. iPhone users seem to be overwhelmingly happy with their iPhone. 89% said they would get another iPhone after this one. Android owners were also very happy with their devices. 71% said they would stay with Android. 21% said they would move to an iPhone next. BlackBerry users, not as happy. 50% of them said they would move to either Android or iPhone. Regardless of whether it's the iPhone or the Android, though, we feel that if you're going to develop a mobile app as a native app rather than a mobile web, you need to develop for both Android and iPhone.
So deciding on which platform we are going to start developing for, we have a very small team of developers in our group. It's pretty much just us. There's another a sister organization, IMI, Infrastructure Management Institute, mm-hmm. who utilizes student workers to the full capacity.
They have their student workers do a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, and they have this educational outreach program that works in collaboration with businesses. What are the businesses interested in? They get the student workers working on that, and then thus student workers are more prepared to go into the business. So. Back when we were deciding to get into development for devices in the first place, Windows Mobile, BlackBerry, and iPhone were the three biggest out there. As you saw from the previous graph, around, I guess, quarter 2009, Android was kind of like a blip on the horizon, but we knew it was coming. But as far as devoting all your developers to what you're going to work on, do you work on the thing that might be great or the thing at the point, which was iPhone, that looked very promising for development? So the aspect of, what was the future growth came into play a lot. Also, let's see. the distribution mechanism, iTunes, students. We're targeting students, obviously. And the students we surveyed were particularly interested in iPhone as opposed to BlackBerry or Windows Mobile, and so were we. That came into play a lot. But we ended up deciding on the iPhone platform. So we had to decide, after we decided on the platform, how we were going to go about building our application. Initially, we were confused as to whether we're going to start at it right off the get-go, looking at all the features and plugging away at one application. We decided on instead developing each function of the application separately because we had a lot of different applications coming down the pipeline that were going to utilize the same kind of features, same functionality. So instead of having one project, which was our application at the time, we developed it independently as a set of modules that we would then put together for the core application. This helped out with versioning. We didn't step on each other's toes so much. And also keeping the documentation for the functions together. It worked out pretty well. It's more like using building blocks to put the thing together, which was pretty nice. So we use student workers, NKU. I don't know how many of you use student workers very often. Many? At all? It works out very well as far as we've experienced.
They get a lot of real-world experience.
Yeah, and we don't have a problem finding students who are capable of doing the work that we demand of them. They're very dedicated. And we got a lot of interest with this iPhone development that we had in the pipeline.
We just recently had a course at our university, and I don't know how many of your universities are doing similar things. We had a course in iPhone development, and after this course was over, we were like just beating students away with a stick that wanted to work on these projects with us.
Yeah, so as far as IMI goes, they have the majority of the student workers. We get like one at a time. They develop both for iPhone and Android over there. We do mainly iPhone work. So we have so far put together 14 applications that are available, complete. And student workers have done one of them, which is the Flashcard app, tentatively named Flashcard. It's not complete yet, but we're going to demonstrate that later.
I mean, the student workers have helped on all of these applications. They've done one solely on the room.
Right.
From things like there's a fire department app for San Ramon Fire Department, and alerts for me, sends out push notifications depending on the kind of service you subscribe to. Mm-hmm. So a little bit about our flagship app, INKU. INKU was initially released in 2009. It's free in the App Store. As we mentioned earlier, we decided to go with iPhone, not only because at the time the iPhone was more appealing to our students, but also because of the availability of iPod touches, which had app interoperability with the iPhone. And what we were trying to do is port the most used functionality from our website to the native app. And there's the argument of going native app or mobile web app. Our leadership decided to go with native app development, I think more in terms of trying to develop some in-house expertise in mobile app development to use with some of our other community outreach programs. The first version of INKU was pretty simple. It was released more as a proof of concept than anything else, released in spring 2009. Really just had four features. Had a glossary of NKU terms for incoming students, had like a sing-along fight song with a little bouncing ball that bounces from word to word, had an NKU themed trivia game, and the campus map, which with GPS location. Unfortunately, we weren't able to use Google Maps. I was listening to a talk yesterday, and somebody asked, is anybody doing their own campus map? And I just kind of hid down in my chair. Our campus is always under construction, so if you look at the Google map of our campus right now, we've got at least two buildings that just aren't even there. So, you know, we can't have like a pin sticking in a construction crater saying, oh, this is your science building, this is where your classes are going to be. So we had to go with our own thing.
Yeah, and I think at the time of this release, actually through development, the map on Google Maps, mm-hmm. it was like 5 years out of date. So
yeah, it was a little bit terrible. So about the time of last year's High Ed Web, Curtis and I got put on this project, and this is what it looked like then. And then the following March, we gave it a complete cosmetics facelift, and we added a bunch of new features: a searchable campus directory. We had our students could do their online student evaluations from the iPhone. A GPA calculator, links to the athletics mobile page and university calendar. We aggregated all of the RSS feeds from all of the various departments from school, and we have two streaming radio stations, our WNKU, which is our campus radio station, and then we have a student-run station, Norse Code Radio, that plays out of the app. And this was, like I say, really the first time we tried to make it actually useful, as opposed to just, you know, a toy, really. And this was a combination of mobile web and native app. We had two little small releases fixing bugs, things like that. And then about a month after the March release, we pushed out another release in April, where we had completed some of the features we'd had in the pipeline up to that point. So one feature was the bus schedule. It's Transit Authority of Northern Kentucky has all of the bus stops, live updated arrival times, a little counter that counts down as to when the next bus arrival will be, drops all of the bus stops on a pin with your current GPS location so you can see which bus stop is closest to you from where you're standing at the moment. We got into our student information system. It's an SAP portal to pull out the student course schedule so the student can log in through an authenticated portal and look at their class schedule for that semester right out of the native app. And then we also added in our course catalog. And then the most recent version we released about 2 months ago added iPad support, making it a universal iOS app. And we added some more functionality from the SAP portal. The grades, so now the students can log in and view their grades for the last few semesters. You can also see, you know, what their average was for that semester, what their average was for the previous college career to that point, how many, you know, quality hours they've earned, that kind of thing. In terms of features that we use, we started tracking individual feature use in the most recent version. Now this is about, at the time that I took the slide, that was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks worth of data in there. And you can see that the student class schedule was getting hit really, really heavily. Now we released this version of the app right before the beginning of the semester. So clearly all of our users were, you know, as they were trying to get used to the new semester, trying to, you know, what class am I going to next? They would whip out their mobile device and check out their schedule. Course catalog got quite a few uses. Of course, that was also during the drop ad portion of the semester, right toward the beginning. Some students were looking at their grades, although we expect that feature to really spike up toward the end of the semester when, you know, students have got a full grading cycle. They can start looking at their grades at the end of this semester. We also used, up until version 2.4, we used Flurry Analytics. We took it out in 2.4 because Flurry pissed off Steve Jobs, and you know he was kind of getting back at him. The top line, you can't really see the colors on this very well, unfortunately, shows the number of users that are using it at least once or twice a day. And currently we've got about just a little under 300 users who use it, you know, every single day at least once or twice. Users who are using the device 3 to 5 times a day are in the mid, around 170s, We have some users that use it 6 to 9 times a day, just below 100. In terms of usage by month, we inserted Flurry in August of 2009, and usage steadily grew until the end of the spring semester in April 2010. Then we see a dip over the summer. You know, nobody's at school, nobody cares about school. But then we started spiking back up again when we started back to school. In terms of average session length, how long do people stay in our app? Right at the beginning, people were spending about 18 to 19 minutes in the app. Now at the time, all that was really in the app was the fight song, the glossary, and the trivia game. And so we figured the average user were getting on and looking through all of that information and just, you know, seeing what was there, realizing that there wasn't much, and then usage dropped way off again right after that. And then we kind of started steadily growing again after we released some new features in March and April. And then where we're at right now is about an average of 12 minutes per user. What devices is INKU on? We're finding that it's, you know, 2/3 of the devices that we're on are iPhones, about 1/3 are iPod touches. We've got a very small percentage of iPad, but then bear in mind that this was not a universal app during this feature. So, you know, if you don't have an iPod, or rather an iPad version of your app, and you're just using the iPod version, it just expands the same view and it looks like crap. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that we don't have statistics on this since we've become a universal app, but I expect that figure would be a little bit larger. So what's next for INKU? Where are we going with all this? Well, we have some social media integration features that we've been developing, Facebook and Twitter. We have a campus photo gallery that we're putting in the device, a virtual campus tour that is going in. We plan further SAP integration, so can show the current students' registration status. Do they have any holds or not? Do they have any tuition due? Who is their current advisor, and how do they get in touch with that person? So I think at this point, we're going to show you what INKU looks like. We had intended to do this with actual iPhones and iPads and a document projector, but that's just not working out for us today. So if you'd like to. Yeah. So we're stuck using the iPhone simulator.
So our application has 15 different features available. 10 of which are native features.
You're going to have to log on. We rebooted the machine. We're going to have to log on before we can show anything that's got web accessibility. Sorry, this is the Aruba thing.
So 10 of the features are native functionality features, and 5 of which are still using web applications that we've developed, PHP and
maybe not
C#, other technologies. 3 of the features that are native require authentication, and I guess that's one of the downsides of us having built them individual modules.
I guess I'd already done that.
Because they each independently require authentication. In the future, we're planning on creating, having a single sign-on kind of method for them. So 2 of which, so far, the My Grades and My Classes use SAP integration, so it connects via SOAP service to the SAP database. This is the campus directory, NKU Find It. In order to search for a student, you have to log in, so I'm not going to show student information, but I mean, it just pulls up. We search for this. You see the listing of faculty, and you can call them or either email them from the phone, from that interface. These require authentication, AD authentication, so, oops. Not my credentials. we log in. It allows a student to view their grades from My Grades, so they select a semester, term, and program type, and then they're able to view detailed grade information based on the SAP values. So they have cumulative information and then information based on each course they're taking, like grade quality points, so on and so forth. So, lab course. So, we're planning future SAP integration, like we said. SAP is our particular live backend for student information now. They can also view their class schedule. Oops. So they select a course, they can see what type of course it is, who's teaching it, when, where, how many credits it's worth. This in particular is not a full credit course. So that's it. So the tank bus application, like he was saying, they can see the different routes that the bus takes, how much time it's going to be until the bus arrives to that route. So this is very useful for students. They can see where, corresponding to their current location, they are.
Let me try
we have to, yeah, we have to go pretty far north to see where we are right now.
Right.
Yeah, I was trying to pinch.
Yeah.
And let's see, RSS feeds. It aggregates feeds. They can favorite a feed. It shows, you know, the feed, how many feeds you haven't read, how many feeds you favorited. So it's kind of cool. And this is another issue. I don't know if any of you have gotten into development for iPhone or any other mobile platform, but as far as making updates, we use PHP backend to send the phone things that we need to update regularly, so we don't have to deal with the hassle of sending in like a totally new version with everything on the phone. So that list of feeds was being sent to it from PHP service. And then, so we also have streaming radio available. This is the iPhone simulator, so it doesn't show the volume control and has other features. But they can play live radio while they use the phone. We have two different radio stations that we have built in for streaming radio. Aside from that,
swipe over, show them the.
Yeah. We have the fight song. Maybe you click on it.
Yeah.
I guess you won't be able to hear it.
That's
if you want to sing along, you're more than welcome to, though.
Just kind of make up your own tune there. So.
Some campus trivia.
All right, we need to.
And the map. Okay, so that's basically how INKU is right now. We also have, like I was saying, a flashcard application in development solely made by student workers as part of the educational outreach program that we have.
We had a faculty member suggest this project to us.
Yeah.
Part of the requirement was that faculty members only can log on to the system. And they can create their own decks of cards and their own custom cards.
And that the cards would be available as decks to the students, you know, regardless if they have a connection to the application at the time. So it stores the decks on the
phone
device, yeah. So this is built for Android and for iPhone. And as Tom's displaying, he's logged in as a faculty member, and he's in the process of modifying decks.
So let's say I want to create a deck for a study for an art class. I'm going to add a new deck here, title and course and topic, and then save that. And then we can go in and add cards. Oops. Okay. So it starts with the default template for the card is just text in the front, text in the back. We can change the template to have, we're going to change to have a card with no text and one image in the front, and then card with text and one image on the back. And make those my default and save that. Select the location of my image for the front and the back. And then type in the text for the card. Okay, so maybe my spelling's not that great. Maybe it's still not great. Who cares? So I'm going to save that. And then if I want to review cards that I've built already, I can click on the card, and it'll show me the front and back. And then I can continue doing this until I have a bunch of cards in a complete deck. On the device, the student will log on to the app and can look at the current decks. Let's search by course. High Ed Web, and here's the deck. Yes, we want to download the deck. And then we can view the deck, view flashcards, and we can look from one card to the next, click it to view the back, see whatever the answer is. If we've already learned a particular card, we don't want to see that anymore, we can hide the card and it won't show up any longer. If we want to unhide cards, we can view the flashcards again. Having clicked, you see what I did there? I clicked to show the hidden cards, view the flashcards, and come to the card that was hidden, unhide it, and reset the deck. And then when I'm all finished, we can get rid of the deck entirely. So that's the flashcard app. I think that's everything we've got. Do you have any questions? Yes. No, we haven't. We haven't done that at all. That's not anything that's been addressed at our level. Our leadership really believes in mobile apps just in a as a teaching tool, a teaching aid. Things like INKU, I don't know that they've done a cost assessment on that. If they have, they haven't shared that with me. But my understanding is that they're just trying to develop some in-house expertise in the development end of things so that we can develop some of these teaching aids that are being submitted to us from faculty and students on campus.
Right, and not just faculty and students. We actually have way more applications coming down the pipe from outside corporations than we can handle. I think that might be another reason that he wants us to be able to help these students coming in to us from the education outreach and through IMI in order to actually build these applications. So,
yes. There's no cost at all. These are all free to download and free to use. Yes. Just Cocoa Touch. We're not using any framework on the back end, or like I said, this is completely student developed. So I don't believe that they used any framework like CodeIgniter or KPHP.
They also didn't use a pre-built CMS. They were thinking about using Drupal, but decided to build their own. So,
yes.
Yes.
That they would be responsible for developing the decks in their entirety. No. They can log on to this portal. It filters based on your AD group. And so the faculty and staff can log on and create decks and edit decks.
So.
Yes. It logs on through LDAP authentication. Yes. Yes. The feedback that we've gotten has been pretty positive, particularly with the later versions of the app. Again, that's not something that we've heard a lot from in our role. Our team leaders are more interfacing with the students and marketing communications interfaces with the student body more on the app level than we do. Yes.
Well, let's see. The different areas around campus have their own RSS feeds. So we have a list.
Yeah,
centralized, just sending it from a PHP page of the lists of RSS feeds, and then it goes, grabs each of those feeds when you click it.
Yeah. Is there other besides RSS? Do you store there?
I'm sorry?
Any?
The services that feed into the INKU device?
Right.
Yeah, there are feeds that feed the information from SAP, and that's being fed from our SAP servers. Let's see, there is the feed for the campus directory. That's being fed through an app server that we have set up.
Like your web services, mm-hmm. would those go out to all the individual servers, or would they come to your server, which has collated all this?
Yeah, well, they're all running off of the same, off of our app server. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's actually
a good question.
I was going to say you.
Right. We have an emergency notification system called Norse Alert that, if there's a shooter on campus or, any kind of like a fire or disaster, sends out notifications to all the student body via phone and text and email. And we looked into putting that onto the iPhone device. However, the only method that they have out there that we're aware of currently is push notifications through Apple. And part of what Apple has stated is that you should never use their push notifications for any kind of emergency alert because they don't consider them to be reliable in that context. So while we've kind of toyed around the idea of, developing some kind of homegrown approach, that's still kind of on the drawing board. We haven't gotten a lot of traction with our leadership in terms of getting the go-ahead to start developing something like that.
Any other questions? Have any of you looked into development app device, worked with Xcode and all that stuff? What's your take on it? Yeah, we were looking into using.
We're looking into using some cross-platform frameworks like PhoneGap or Ruby Rhodes or the AppCelerator Titanium to develop, across the board, just once. And those will use. I know at least PhoneGap and Titanium use, PHP and CSS and HTML, and they're just wrapping it in native code. And that's certainly a direction that we're looking at with a lot of interest moving forward, because that sure beats parallel development. any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, when you develop platforms specific like we've been doing, and we are looking to develop for more platforms like Android, you know, like you were saying, it's more cost effective to develop multi-platform, you know, across the board use. So.
Oh, it's okay. Well, let's see.
Hey, do you want to talk about it since?
Well, that's the screen there, and okay. So you want to know more about the virtual campus tour that we're intending to do? Well, we're kind of taking some inspiration from some of the things that we've seen out in the marketplace. We envision kind of an app where you have a view for each building, and you can have a photo gallery for each building inside and out and see what they look like. Our campus website uses a flash tour, but you know, it's iPhone, you don't get any flash, so we're having to find another way around. That's something we're still struggling with ourselves, is how to make that work and look real nice. There are a couple of things out there currently that are pretty nice solutions. University of Charleston, I think, has a fairly nice virtual tour, and we've been looking at that. Yes.
You know, they didn't elaborate exactly why they didn't want to use Drupal. Let's see. It seemed feature heavy was the quote that we got from that.
I guess
it was a daunting task for them, and they figured they could do what they needed, you know, just using like PHP and, you know, JSON, XML.
Yeah, it looks like we're out of time here. Actually, it looks like we ran over by a few minutes. Again, I apologize for the beginning of
Yeah, thanks for sitting
this.
Through that.
Yeah, thanks for your patience.